that voice you hear is Scott McLaughlin, a resident hockey nerd here at Odyssey.
Are you putting down Gresh? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
I just got a message from Gresh.
Is he dead?
You better get ready to work tomorrow because he is not in good shape. And for a guy like a guy that big to be that sick, hey, feel like I'm dying. Temp hovering the last 3 hours at 102. Somehow this is your fault. Oh, yeah. He's blaming it on Uber. I put him in an Uber.
Could have been the flight.
He had never been in an Uber before. He had never been in an Uber before. Didn't have
I've
the
never
app.
Done my own Uber.
What?
I've ridden with others in Uber, but I've never done my own
Uber. Do you have
Uber.
The Uber app? Do you,
no.
You've never?
Nope.
Really? Have you, Scott?
Yeah, plenty.
It's like, I don't know where I'd be without it.
I'm high maintenance. Like at Super Bowls, I'd always be with somebody and be like, hey, can you get an Uber? And then I'd ride with them.
Such a cheap ass.
Wasn't even the cheap. I just don't like to do stuff. I don't trust myself.
What do you mean you don't like to do stuff? What is it with you, Andy's? You guys are so, like, antisocial.
Oh, there's probably something to that.
Oh, yeah. All right, so let's get some
hockey.
Wait,
but what was
talking.
Your point about the Old Yeller thing? Did you finish
I'll tell
that?
You at 12:45.
Oh, I got to wait that
at 12:45.
Long?
Sounds like Gresh has what Austin Matthews has.
Oh. Which is what?
I don't Felix, know, some, sort of some sort of illness that knocked him out of the third period of game four. Has him playing like crap. He didn't practice today.
The only time he looked good was that breakaway goal.
What was that, game two or game one?
All of game two. He was dominant that whole game, but that's been about it.
That's the other thing.
Fine.
There hasn't really, you guys, I was listening to Sunday Skate on Sunday when I probably had an award-winning call-in question when I was debating
Razor. Best call
of
the year.
Yeah, I totally beat up on Razor. Razor is easy to bully. He's so easy to push around.
Jesus, you called in to bully somebody?
I did, because he said something stupid.
Wait, you corrected the hockey expert
on
hockey?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
This ought to be good.
You guys mentioned this on Sunday. The last time the Bruins were up against like an odd man rush was that play where it was like, the one of the players got behind the defender. I think it was, I'm not sure who it was at the time.
It was McAvoy.
It was McAvoy, right? Behind. So they get behind. It looked like a post route in football where the safety is like stuck in the mud and the receiver goes right by him and they try to recover and they can't do it. That's how pretty that pass was.
Yeah.
So what stood out to you the most then over since that loss, right? Because they lose 3-2 in game two and then they win 4-2 and then 3-1. And I would say in convincing fashion. I mean, hell, they were up 3-0 in game four before the Toronto even got on the board.
Yeah. Well, they're huge advantage in goal is shining through. Jeremy Swayman's been awesome. Ilya Samsonov, not awesome. In fact, not good.
Can I interrupt real quick? Sorry.
Sure.
Like, I feel like he buried the lead there. Are we stay and sway?
Oh, will you
hashtag
let him,
stay sway?
Will you let him get
Well, he just had the biggest advantage.
I mean, what are you talking
And the
about?
Biggest question in the series has been the goaltending situation.
It has to be Swayman game five.
Okay, thank you.
God.
Proceed.
He wants credit for that question, basically interrupting you.
That's the biggest question that every Bruins observer has.
What's the biggest difference in the game? Their goalie sucks. Ours is good.
Right.
I mean, that's really basically it.
That's a big one. The other one, they're dominating special teams. Bruins power play humming along, 6-for-13 in the series. Maple Leafs power play getting totally shut down by the Bruins penalty kill.
Are they 0-for?
They are 1-for-14.
Oh, okay. They got one goal.
They just went 0-for-8 the last two games. So that's another one. And the Bruins have really locked down defensively 5-on-5. Early in the series, they were giving up a lot of chances. Swayman had to stand on his head. They blew him out in game one, but Swayman made a lot of grade A saves. Allmark faced some high-quality chances game two. Last two games, listen, Swayman's been great. He hasn't faced nearly as many high-danger chances. They have done a really good
job. What is a high-danger chance?
I was thinking, is this hockey analytics?
I feel like this is deep-dive hockey nerd stuff.
So, high-danger shot in close or like a one-timer off a pass through the slot.
Like an odd-man rush.
An odd-man rush, yes, would be a high-danger chance. That's one of the many things they've cut down on. They're not giving up odd-man rushes. They're not giving up chances right in front of the net. They're not giving up, cross-slot passes that lead to point-blank one-timers. They've cut down on all that. So that has made Swayman's job easier. And then when the Maple Leafs have broken through, he's just been
So I'm wondering – I am curious, though, because I wonder how Allmark kind of, views this, right?
So well, I just talked to him.
Oh,
you did. Oh, that's right, because you were at camp.
Hot off the presses.
Yeah. All right, so hold on. So, Scott, you were at Morning Skate. Right.
Practice.
Was it a real practice?
Today was a real practice.
Do hockey players have hat day?
Have what?
Hat day.
The hell's hat
What's
day?
What's hat day?
Like you just walk out in a hat and you don't really do anything.
I wear hats every day.
Yeah. You just a hat day signifies that you're not trying. Okay, but they
no,
don't.
No, they have some optionals.
You had some hat games, I think.
they have some optional practices or morning skates. Right, so I guess that would be the equivalent. So today was a full
practice. You talked to
Omar. Yes.
Okay, what'd you ask him and what did he say?
Just ask him what it's been like watching Swayman get consecutive starts. And he, Omar, his usual bubbly positive self, said, it's great. We're up 3-1 in the series. You know, he's supportive of Swayman, says he's playing great, says it's his job just to be ready if and when he gets back in. So saying all the right things, he comes across as like same guy, not upset about it. So I'm sure he wants to play. Any goalie would, any player would. But I do think the support of Swayman and the team, even if he's not playing, I do think it's genuine with him.
Well, the thing is that he doesn't really have a choice. He's like a victim of circumstance because that's how I would say, like, how does he view it? So it's not that he's getting criticized, but Swayman's being propped up maybe a little bit more than maybe than he should, or maybe Allmark thinks that he's earned because technically he had the tougher game. He had a tougher situation, and Swayman, the last two games, has had it easier.
Sure, but regardless, it's hard to ignore the fact that Swayman is now 6-0 against Toronto on the season, and Omar lost game two. He wasn't the reason why. He was good, but they did lose that game. And as long as Swayman keeps beating them, you have to keep playing Swayman and force the Maple Leafs to beat them before you even consider a change, which is why, like, you know, I hear some people say, like, oh, maybe you go to Omar in game five because then you'd have Swayman fresh 6-7 if it went that far. No, absolutely not. Like, you go for the kill shot.
Finish him.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
You know,
finish
the
him.
Only time that he, and I mentioned this to you on Sunday, I do feel like, I've seen this happen to quarterbacks and other sports, a rotating situation. The guy is a beneficiary of, you know, some, you know, good circumstances. And so he gets propped up as the better player. And the only way for Omar to kind of break that cycle is to start game one of the second series and have a great game. Because then right now, Swayman is ahead of him, right? And so only way for Omar to kind of, you know, earn the trust and love and loyalty of the other players is to start a game, man up, play awesome, and now they're equals again.
But that's not what this is about. Isn't this about the Bruins winning as many games as possible as
right.
directly? You know, like, it's not our job to fluff up Allmark if the opportunity presents itself for whatever reason. But I've looked at this all along, Scott, and I've wanted Swayman to be this. I wanted Swayman all-star break. I wanted, you know, trade. I was all for the idea that Swayman is a franchise goalie. And then the second half brought mud to the water, and it just never worked out that way. I actually think we've gotten right now to where I would have preferred we'd gotten a little earlier.
Yeah, and it was interesting that they rotated the last 25 games of the regular season. Like, no interruption, no one even got two in a row. And it was surprising to me because I thought at some point they'd give someone some run, and I think it might have been in the plans for that to be Swayman, but then, as you said, like, after All-Star break, Allmark's playing better, and right. So it's like, well, are we really going to turn it over to Swayman? Are we going to keep rotating and, like, seriously consider this for the playoffs? And the fact that they rotate all the way to the end, that is what led me to believe that they would rotate at least two games and go from there because, you know, last year they rotated to the end and then tried to ride Allmark. It didn't work. I asked Montgomery about that in March. I was like, can you do that again? And he said, like, we kind of learned, you know, that that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to rotate to the end and then expect one guy to handle the entire playoffs. So I was like, well, that to me seems like a tip off that you're going to rotate into the playoffs. It's just a matter of how long. Was it going to be the first two and evaluate, or was it going to be four games and evaluate? You know, Allmark didn't really play himself out of a rotation in game two, but again, Swayman has just been so good in this particular matchup that at some point you just can't ignore that.
So that voice you're hearing is Scott McLaughlin, our resident hockey nerd. And I say that with love and respect because I feel like nobody calls a football beat reporter a nerd, but they will do it in baseball and in hockey because it's a little deeper dive. So you were at practice.
I'll embrace that. That's
you
fine.
Should. You, yeah. you look at you. You look like a nerd.
Good, thanks.
What else? So you talk.
Why
to
are we bullying? Why are we judging him based on looks? That's not okay.
I judge because I love.
You look like a big dumb jock.
Oh, thank you. So who else did you talk to when you were over there? And how much access do you have to these guys? Like when practice is over, Are they all kind of milling around? Is it at the podium? And do you have, like, you know, like a relationship with one guy more than the other?
So Montgomery goes to the podium, so everyone's crowded into the media room there. And then locker room opens up, and for the playoffs, there actually have been more guys available than there are in the regular season, which is good because it's crowded. There's a ton of media over there for playoffs. So today, like, I was in on Allmark. I talked to Mason Lorai. As far as, you know, good relationships with anyone, I would say, like, most of the team, that, you know, they're pretty good to deal with. So, but Mason Lorai,
who never answers your questions? Who is, like, who avoids you the most?
Everyone does.
Why? Just because? I mean, everyone does.
I think in, I don't know, let's say 3 years that I've been, like, mostly on the beat, I guess, I've maybe had, like, once or twice where a player's been like, nah, I don't want to talk today. Like, it's very rare.
Must be nice.
What about Marchand? Because he's a guy that's just playing just unbelievable. And I think in the beginning of this series, I think a lot of people thought there was something wrong with him, like he was hurt or something like that. But he's just turned his game up, like, significantly.
Yeah, he's completely taken over. Like, he's their leader as captain on and off the ice, but he has led with his play, too. Like, he's just been outstanding. 8 points in 4 games now. He single-handedly has outscored the Maple Leafs core four of Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, John Tavares. They have 6 points combined. He has 8. Like, it's crazy. And he's clearly gotten under their skin as well with, you know, he does a great job now at towing that line that at times earlier in his career he would cross. But, you know, the battles with Bertuzzi, getting, you know, Max Domi is slashing him, like, right off the opening faceoff of the series. And he's not responding. He's not doing anything stupid. And then you have Sheldon Keefe, Toronto's coach, complaining about him after games. It's like he's clearly gone under their skin, and he's just dominating them on the scoreboard.
Is that similar to Tkachuk last year, where, like, it felt like everything he did, he was the puppeteer in the series? And it feels like this year Marchand is the guy that's controlled. Because it certainly looks from afar like the Leafs are just mentally frustrated toast.
Yeah, and that, you know, with Tkachuk last year, it's like that really happened those last 3 games as they were coming back. I remember after game 4, everyone thought Matthew Tkachuk was a clown because he tried to fight Linus Ullmark.
Right.
And the Bruins lead the series 3-1. And it's like, oh my God, like he's gone. They've gone, you know, he's gone insane. Like, he's trying to fight the goalie. Well, whatever, you know, it worked for them because they ended up coming back, which is now, you know, for the Bruins, that's a challenge, right? Like, you were in the same situation last year. Up 3-1, looked like you had a team on the ropes, you know, looked like they were going crazy, and you let them back in. So this year, how do you just slam that door shut? Game 5, like, you don't want to go back to Toronto for game 6, so get it done Tuesday night.
So what do you think Toronto's philosophy is going to be? They're desperate. They've tried, like, every tactic. Nylander came back. I don't know how much of an impact you think he had, but they're desperate, right? So what do you think, how do you think, you know, they approach this game tomorrow?
If you're the Bruins, you better expect them to play the best game you've ever seen them play. Like, there's a lot of questions about that Leafs team. There's a lot already being written about them blowing everything up and trading away one of their big pieces and firing Sheldon Keefe and all this. And it's like, maybe they just roll over. Like, maybe they really are that soft. But if you're the Bruins, you can't afford to think that or assume that. So I assume the Leafs are going to come out desperate. Like, any team facing elimination, by and large, like, they come out with that desperation. And it's like, it's almost you have nothing to lose. So, like, why not throw everything in the kitchen sink at the opponent? You saw over the weekend there were 3 teams that had a chance to sweep. One of them did. The Rangers closed out the Capitals. The other two, the Lightning were facing a sweep against Florida. And who am I forgetting here? Islanders were facing one against Carolina. They won those games. Like, they kept their seasons alive. Now, they're probably going down in 5. Like, they're outmatched. But, yeah, you better expect the absolute best that the Leafs have to offer right now.
See, I think that this game is so important just to kind of, like, last year was such high expectations, and they just tripped over their own shoelaces. And I think if they get out of this series, I mean, I feel like anything is possible just from a mental standpoint.
Yeah, you know, you talk to people around hockey, and, like, that is always the first series is always the craziest. It feels like the closest to a coin flip. Both teams are usually mostly healthy going in, whereas as the playoffs go on, there's more wear and tear. There's more teams that just get too banged up. But, yeah, you know, look, they're probably going to be the underdog in the second round. If, assuming Florida closes out Tampa, Bruins close out Toronto, the Bruins will be the underdog in that series. Florida's better than last year. Bruins clearly worse on paper. But, you know, if they win this round, then they've already gone further than last year. So their recipe can work. Like, if they get great goaltending, they play this lockdown defense, their special teams are clicking, that is a really good recipe for playoff success, regardless of whether you have as much talent on paper.
What was your big picture expectation coming in, and have you altered it at all, and how much does Swayman maybe sort of taking over the goaltending situation lead to that?
Well, preseason, I picked them to finish like right around where they did, and I thought if they won a round, that's a successful season. Going into the playoffs, I felt the same way. I thought they should get by Toronto. They'd be the underdog against Florida. So I'd have a hard time. If they win this series and lose a hard-fought series to Florida, I would have a hard time calling that any sort of failure. Like, this was always going to be, to some extent, a transition year when you lose, when Bergeron and Krejci retire and you have all the cap issues you had where, you know, you're losing guys like Taylor Hall. You can't re-sign Tyler Bertuzzi, and you're replacing them with essentially veteran minimum contracts like James Van Riemsdyk. There was always an element of transition this year. But now that you're here, you have as good a chance to win the cup as anyone. So it's like you can't, you know, there's not going to be any like, hey, all right, we won a round, like, congratulations to us. Like, right. No, you win this round, the expectation is win the next one too. So my expectation was they win one round, but, you know, if you get past Toronto, like you said, Christian, like, anything's possible from that.
Yeah, point. So give us a score. Games tomorrow, they close them out or they give them life? That would be the worst thing. We would have to see more, like, you know, cutaways to those stupid fans in Toronto where they stand in the middle of nowhere.
It's like the draft.
Oh my God, it is.
But it's great. Leafs fans in Maple Leaf Square is incredible.
No, that part is great, but watching them cheer, I don't know why I hate the Toronto fans so much. They just irritate me. Like, who does that? Go watch it at home. They like the draft people. Like, get a life. Just watching it on TV. They stand for hours and hours. So do they win?
Yeah, I say they close it out. I'll go 4-2 with an empty netter.
Okay, 4-2. Who gets the empty netter? Ooh.
Pastrnak.
Oh, okay. All right, so, well, appreciate that. That was great. Are you going to write a column or write anything about your experiences down there?
What are you, his boss? Jesus.
Probably, yeah.
Well, where to find it? Where can we find it?
WI.com.
You know, you're acting. And the Odyssey app. I'm teeing you up to, like, to give you some props. Who do you like more, Bridget or Razor?
Oh, God. They're both really nice. Like, that's not an answer. Problem. Like,
it's not an answer. Just say Bridget.
Bridget. Yeah.
She makes cookies.